Well, I know one of the things that they tell us, but I was going to say one of the things that they tell us is to keep good balance in our lives. And I have basically almost completely lost my balance, at least my balance of my body. So I stagger around and I use the cane all the time. I'm not sure why Cain didn't know that he would keep his brother Abel, but he didn't seem to know that, did he? For a scripture this morning, I'd like to turn your hearts toward Luke, the 5th chapter. We'll read just a couple of verses there, verses 18 through 20. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of our word and of our hearing of it. Well, I have to say, greetings, beloved friends. I think you probably know, and I want you to hear it. Sue and I are delighted to be here with all of you this morning. We are. Do you realize, and it's hard for my head to get around this, but I realize that two Sundays from today, June the 2nd, 2024, I will be somewhat painfully observing 3 years since my retirement as your pastor, June 1st, 2021. Time literally flies, doesn't it? Now, I've known for a couple of weeks that I would be coming here to substitute as a preacher for your pastor, Brother Jim, and he may hear this message sometime, and so I'll just say thank you to him for asking me to substitute for him today, and thank you for the church extending that invitation. So I've been thinking about coming back and think about what we, that is you as a church and me as pastor, did and tried to do during those two decades of my being here. Well, there were several things. I won't go over much of it, but I got to thinking about this idea. What did we study about? What did we talk about? Actually, I can enumerate what we as a church or as a group or as individuals do about ministry. That idea, that concept, that action, what do we do about it? Well, yes, ministry is something you do. Well, it's significant if you do it, but you know, you could write it down as words. You could talk about it or just think about it, but it only takes life. It only really happens if you do it. So what is this actual, this real action ministry then? What is it? And my thoughts about this went on and led me to this message, this sermon to bring to you, Boskydale Baptist Church. In its simplest form, ministry is the act of caring for others and with whoever that other or others are. It's also the inclusion, the very basic inclusion of sharing Christ and your Christian concern for and with them as you go about meeting both their physical and spiritual needs, that is, those who are being ministered to. C.W. Brister, author of the book Pastoral Care in the Church, wrote this: "The servant image and pattern of ministry was established as the Bible's most characteristic view of the people of God. The church, like her Lord, is to be in the world as one who serves." And when I thought, when I read that, I thought, this guy's onto something very, very significant, extremely significant, not only for the church as a whole, but also for every follower of Christ, for every Christian. I remember I was in a church, and I'm not sure which one, because my memory is also almost gone. It went away with my balance. But anyway, I do remember that at one point, at the top of the order of worship every Sunday, it said, "Pastor Stephen Combs ministers all the members." You're all called to ministry. Well, the church has a great need for a pattern for ministry. And when I read this again, very quick, but just a very significant story of these four men who brought a paralyzed man to Jesus, I thought, all right, we have a pattern. So why do we need a pattern? Is there a reason or a rationale or a purpose that drives us to action ministry? Well, my understanding gathered from reading numerous events of ministry in the New Testament, it clearly points me to the purpose for ministry being to bring people to Jesus Christ and to help them grow and mature in Christ. Ministry clearly points to Christ, and then he takes it from there. We're not the ones who heal, or we're not the ones who forgive, or are the ones who save. It is not the one who acts to minister or gives meaning and purpose and direction in life. Christ does that. Think for just a second about these four men. They were ordinary people who were willing to go to a great deal of trouble to bring their friend to Christ. As one who looks to minister, or a church that desires to minister, the first thought, the driving purpose, is the desire for the recipient of your ministry is for the answer that Christ alone will finally give them, and that is salvation. Well, it'd be good if there were someone or some group who truly needed us to be ministered to them. That would be good, wouldn't it? And my friends, you may already be on to this, but if we need to know, just know this truth. The potentialities of ministry are all around us. Potentialities are limited only by our concern, our compassion, our ingenuity, or maybe our eyesight, but certainly by the urging of the heart. The compassionate hearts of these four men and the gospel writer Luke shared with us were interested in the possibility of ministry, but their concern was that they were able to find a sure possibility. Carlisle Marney was a Baptist pastor. He lived mostly in Texas and North Carolina, but for a couple of years he pastored in Paducah, Kentucky. And so since he was almost a local, I felt that he could speak for us, or speak to us. Well, he also wrote seven books and a lot of other documents, but in one of his books he wrote about a man that he knew of who had been a pastor. But in that man, there were elements of what Marney called freedom and inspiration in his personality that meant that no code, no creed, no rule, no set of dogmas could just quite confine him. And so he left his position as pastor. Well, Marty visited with him and he asked, what do you do now to exercise your calling since you have no congregation and no pulpit? The man answered, who says I need a congregation? There's a lot of grief and pain that I can sit by. And you know, in every neighborhood, all surrounding Boscadel, there is a lot of grief and pain that a Christian can sit by. In this day and age of the internet and other exposure of all of us to every corner of this earth, the possibilities of ministry are all around us, and they're even beyond us. But in reality, they are oh so close. I mean, can you think of a ministry, maybe not right around Boscadel, but a ministry this church could be involved in? All right, just stack them all up so everybody can see. You're thinking about it, aren't you? The Christmas boxes. They go to children all over the world. And they get all these things in there, you know? They get little shoes, and they get shirts, and they get pencils and erasers. And what they get from Boscadel Baptist Church is a message inside that book, a box, a message about Jesus Christ. I know you do that. Well, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Possibilities of ministry are all around us, but they are even beyond us. We just have to be alert enough and sensitive enough to see them. Oh, the possibilities. So how do we do it? Where do we start? What action do we take? Well, I've talked about one there. Is there a pattern to it? Well, there is a here's a possible plan. I want to say this because I'm looking at you and I see some of you just chomping at the bit. Okay, what can we do? What kind of pattern? What is possible for us? Well, first of all, actually, there are three things that I want you to consider in this pattern. First, there is a priority. Ministry must be a priority item for Christians and for churches. It's not optional. It strikes at the very heart of the meaning of the Christian faith. Ministry was such a priority for these four friends that they were willing to do some very unusual things, some very hard things to accomplish it. It's a priority. And patience. Ministry takes patience. The amount of patience it took for these friends is obvious. They had to be patient enough to find another way of access to Christ. They couldn't get in because of the crowd, but they didn't walk away. They began trying to figure out another way. So they had to be patient enough to remove the roof in order to let their friend into the presence of Christ. In ministry, the results may not occur as quickly as we would like. The people may not respond just the way we would want them to respond, but patience in ministering in Christ's name is just plain mandatory. Be patient. You can help. Jesus will heal. And the third thing is persistence. Priority, patience, and persistence. Persistence paid off for these ministering friends. Because of persistence, they were able to achieve their goal of getting their friend into the presence of Jesus. When you've chosen a ministry you're going to get started with, one which you have on your heart to help in the best way possible, keeping on, persisting, not giving up when you're meeting the needs until your person, your group is being brought to Christ. That's ministry. Priority. Ministry is all the way up there in our calling for Christ, for serving Christ. Patience, meeting obstacles, and yet knowing that God wants us to do the ministries that we find. So keeping on with no matter if it takes more time. And persistence, seeking and finding a ministry, even if obstacles come up, continuing that ministry through thick and thin until it's in the hands of Christ. I guess a question may be, is this ministry that I'm seeing and want to help and bring to truly good for which I'm wanting to minister, is it eventually going to lead to the healing that God will be pleased with? Well, Christ promised healing and comfort to all who would come to him. And that appears to be what was on the minds of those four friends concerning this man they were going to bring to Jesus to heal, to be able to walk again. But in coming to Christ, this man received the greatest of gifts, the forgiveness of sin, the healing of his infirmity, and finding and knowing God in Christ. Here's verse 25 that gives us the rest of the story that I didn't give you. Verse 25, and immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. He had come to God. Well, because the Jewish leaders there had not accepted the messianic reality of Jesus as the Christ, Jesus had to prove the spiritual by the physical. The Jews didn't think that he had the power to forgive sin. Only God could do that, they said. But when Jesus forgave that man's sin, he was assuming the entitlement of God. He took God's place there. He was God to take his own place. Jesus, to show that he had the power of forgiving, which they could not see, gave the man healing, which they could see. See, Jesus always delivers what he promises. Through Jesus Christ, the church, and you, when you do any ministry, both you and the church declare that whole persons are important, that all the needs of people are significant, and that Jesus can meet all those needs. The promise of ministry is that we can show spiritual power by physical acts, and that Christ can deliver what has been promised to others through his power. So, Bosque Del Church, including each one of you, we have a pattern for ministry. Now, our need is to follow that pattern and follow Christ's example as ministers, as the church, and as each of us Christians, as God's ministers. May God bless you and keep you. Amen.